Let us pray together. Our gracious God, we have worshipped you in word and in song. We've praised your holy name, for you have loved us first. We stand at awe and truly in deep and radical silence in the presence of all that you have done, are doing, and have promised to do. We know that all of it is by grace. May we be reminded today by the only teacher we have, and that is the Holy Spirit, that we simply respond. You are the Creator, we are not. We simply reflect. You are the designer, we are not. We simply echo back to you that which comes from your holy word. So may your Spirit make our hearts and our thoughts acceptable, and may my words be constrained and point only to the true word. And we pray in his holy name. Amen. I love to sing. Now, I'm not good at it. I only do it when I'm alone. And for what I lack in skill, I make up for in passion. I mean, I just really like to sing. I like to belt out in the truck or at home anything from A Mighty Fortress to Waylon Jennings and everything in between. I love to sing. And if I think about it, as a pastor, I see my job as a pastor, and I see in a way your job as Christians, we're just singers. We just sing. Like George Strait said, we're all just troubadours. And you may have been one time a young troubadour, and now you're an old troubadour, and hopefully all of us will become even older troubadours, but our job is still the same. We just sing. And my job as a pastor is to remind you, and now I guess in a larger way to remind our churches, that as we sing, we only have one song. And we see that in our psalm today, Psalm 98. And the only song we have is that Jesus Christ and Him alone is King. Our Psalm 98, if you look there, you'll see that it's in the midst of a series of psalms. It's five psalms that go from 95 to 100 is an anthem. And the first two psalms that you'll see in that, 95 and 96, they begin by saying, let us sing to the Lord. And then it alternates back and forth. Psalm 97 and Psalm 99 tell us what the cause for our praise is. And 98 and 100 talk about what that praise looks like. We know what it is to sing. Whether it's a beautiful setting, or a return of a lover or family member or the sovereignty of God, we just know that when we are exposed to beauty, we want to sing. Whether we're in the rain or the sunshine, when we are overwhelmed, we sing. The children of Israel were singers. If you read in the Old Testament, they're singing all the time. They sing frequently. They sing spontaneously. They sing with passion. They sing when things are going well. When a new king comes, or they have harvest time, or victories in battle, or childbirths, or marriages. They sing when they celebrate. And we know what it is to sing when we're happy, don't we? But the children also sing when things are not going so well. They call those laments. We may call them the blues. I remember a wonderful seminary class I had was called Rhythm and Blues, Psalm Rhythm and Blues. And he compared the Psalms with blues music. We know what it is to sing when we're sad. We know what it is to sing in battle time, in defeat. We know what it is to sing in times of death. We know what it is to sing in foreign lands when we feel lonely. So we sing when we're happy, we sing when we're sad, we also sing in protest. Sometimes we, through gritted teeth and the Holy Spirit pushing us to be more bold than we feel, we sing even when we don't feel like singing. Probably the best picture of that is Paul and Silas. Remember when they sang? at midnight. But what I must remind you is they sang praises at midnight loud enough that everyone in the jail felt it shake, and they had just been beaten to a pulp. They had just been ripped away from their lives, beaten, and they're shackled, and what they do is an act of protest, and they sing. And singing is that declaration that while we may not be able to control what's going on in life, we can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, control how we respond. And the song is that we're going to sing. Let's look at this song in particular. This song, 98, is a very easy song to divide. So we have three stanzas with three verses apiece, each telling us something different about how in this song that we sing. The first stanza, verses 1 through 3, tells about the ground of our singing. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nation. He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of the Lord. Here's the ground of our singing. Regardless of what's going on in life, you're redeemed. When things go well and we want to brag, as the disciples did to Jesus, that we're able to go out and cast demons, He said, that's good. Be happy with that. But let me tell you this, there's a deeper grounding that you must have. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The ground of our singing when we're going through hard times. We're going through difficulties with health or relationships or finances. We sing again, I am redeemed. The Lord has saved me. It's the ground of our singing. And maybe you have people that think you shouldn't be singing. Maybe you're surrounded or you're in settings where they think you might sing too much. You don't deserve to sing. And that's when you grit your teeth and you allow the Holy Spirit to put steel in your back and you sing loudly, I am redeemed. Martin Luther, when he would say, what do you do when Satan comes to you in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock, whenever you wake up, and he says, you know what? And he always calls him by name before he knows how to get to you. He says, you're not worthy of God's love. You have failed. You have failed time and time again. And you should not be a Christian. Luther said, just agree with him. Say, you're exactly right. But what of it? I am redeemed. I am standing on solid ground, and therefore I can sing. This almost tells us that this ground of our being. I think of a young teenage woman in a wonderful book that later it was adapted to a play. I don't remember who the actress is. You may remember Rex Harrison was the professor. But her name was Eliza Doolittle. You remember that in My Fair Lady? She knew she was from the wrong side of the track. She knew that she didn't measure up. She knew that she wasn't adequate in of herself. But she was loved. She was redeemed. She was saved by the love of one that came to her. And didn't she sing something about, I could have danced all night? I could have sung all night, for I am redeemed. The second stanza we see is in the 4th through 6th verse. And it doesn't speak of the ground of our singing, it speaks of the method of our singing. What do we do in this singing? Verse 4, make a joyful noise to the Lord all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sounds of melody, with trumpets and the sounds of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. In other words, we're to use everything to sing. We're to use our voice. We're to use all the instruments. Eusebius, the early church father, said, I am totally astonished at the magnitude of His grace, and it can only be met by our total and complete awe and worship. As Walton, in his, when I was conveying the wondrous cross, simply says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all. The method of our singing is everything. And then finally, for brevity, the third stanza is in verses 7 to 9. And this speaks to the scope of our singing. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The scope of our singing is everyone. Now you think, well, why should I sing? Why should I sing? Because it ends by saying the judge is coming. And I remember as a kid hearing somebody sing out of the variety show, but they sang out, here comes the judge, here comes the judge, and everyone was fearful. My mother has a strange habit. She likes between 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock in the evening to give her good, valuable time to watch someone on television named Judge Judy. Now, don't try to call her during that hour. She mesmerized. She loves Judge Judy. So, no, my illustration may have some sticking there. Do you know who Judge Judy is?
Yeah.
Have you seen her? My question is, why would you watch her more than 15 seconds? She's mean. She's hateful. She's demanding. She's sarcastic. The only thing I would want to do with Judge Judy is run. We would have very little reason to stand, brothers and sisters, if we were looking toward an eschaton of a Judge Judy. We don't get Judge Judy. We get Judge Jesus. The judge we get is one who laid down His life for us. The judge that's coming for us is one who would take our punishment, would live perfectly in our stead, would die completely for our sins, not only for ours, but for the sins of the world, who would give Himself in mercy, who, when He had the absolute right and the opportunity to condemn, says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Brothers and sisters, we sing because the judge coming for us is our merciful, loving Jesus Christ. God made manifest for us and in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. If you need them, you can find them on page 881. And we will confess our faith together. Together, brothers and sisters. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and there. The third day He rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may
be seated. You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Faithful and abiding God, we give you thanks and praise. For from the foundation of the world, you sought to bring us into covenant relationship with you. You created us to enjoy you and one another. You called Abraham to lead the family in your ways, and through Moses you liberated your people to be your companions forever. after those days you promised to put your laws in our hearts and write them in our minds, and to remember our sins no more. In Jesus, our great high priest, you opened a new and living way into your presence to share eternal communion with you. And so with saints and angels and all the company of heaven, we sing the praise of your unending glory.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Inviting God, you bring us to your table, meeting true hearts that yearn to come before you with full assurance of faith. Give us a double portion of your Spirit, that we may glow with the radiance of your glory. Through the power of that same Holy Spirit, bless this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, drink you all of it, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ is died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again."
Completing and perfecting God, in your Son's cross you took on the grief and failure of the world, and in his resurrection you dismantled the power of sin and death. Look with mercy on all your people whose longings are unmet. When your children plead for the chance to be creative, productive, or nurturing, give them gentleness, fulfillment, and purpose. When your people yearn to bring joy into the life of others, comfort to the afflicted, or trust to the wounded, give them courage, wisdom, and patience. When your kingdom seems far off, strengthen your church to wait with hope, faith and hope and love, until the day when you are all in all, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gift of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's table. As we read in Revelation about the only Lamb that is worthy, central to the seal I had to create for being a bishop, were those things important. Central to that to me, and you'll see it on the chasuble that I'm wearing when you come forward, is what's called the Angus Dei. It's instructive to me of our approach as Christians. For in Revelation, we read that the revelator was in tears. For he looked around and no one was worthy to undo the scroll. No one was up to the task. And he said he heard a voice saying that the king of Judah, the all-powerful one, he was worthy to unleash the scroll. But when John looked around, he didn't see what it looked like a king in his understanding of a kingdom. He saw a lamb that had been slain. But that slain lamb was doing that which most slain lambs don't do. He was standing. And he was standing holding the scepter of his reign. For at the center of our faith is a slain lamb. And that slain lamb is offered to you at this table. So since it is the Lord's table, we are obliged to extend it to all of the Lord's people. So I invite all of you who love the Lord our God and Savior with sincerity and truth to come and receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. We practice by intention. I'll give you a piece of the host and dip it into the chalice. Please make your way to the railings for prayer. There are notes here. If you want to say a prayer for someone, and then let them know that you prayed for them. And also, Sister Katie will be to my left if you'd like her to join with you in any particular prayer. This is the body and blood of Jesus Christ given to us May we come forth and receive and celebrate the feast. Amen.